Father in heaven, as we open your word this morning, we ask, Lord, for the presence of your Spirit. May our hearts be open also, Lord, that we may understand, that we may catch a glimpse of what you have in store for us, and that we might do those things that you have called us to do, that we will prepare our hearts for your return. For this we ask in Christ's name. Amen. This morning I'm going to speak to you about Daniel, the 12th chapter. And so I would suggest that maybe if you have your Bible handy, or if you have a piece of paper and a pencil, you might want to jot some of these things down as we go through it. To begin with, I'm going to give you some background because I think it's necessary to understand the 12th chapter of Daniel. Daniel, as you know, was carried off as a boy, 15, 16, 17 years old, carried off by Nebuchadnezzar to Babylon, where he spent his life, the rest of his life, in Babylon. But the scripture tells us clearly that he served the Lord and followed the Lord. Not only did he do that, but he studied God's word. And you'll find in Daniel the 9th chapter, in the 2nd verse, he makes mentioning of reading Jeremiah. Talks about reading Jeremiah, and he reads the prophecy that Jeremiah gave that the children of Israel would be in captivity for 70 years. And when that 70 years was over, they were to be free. That's found in Daniel, the 9th chapter, verse 2. That 70 years, folks, has come to an end. Daniel's lived that long. And now it's come to the place that the 70 years is over. And Daniel's wanting to know, okay, Lord, when are we going to be delivered? When are you going to set the children of Israel free? And this is his concern. He wants to know, when is this going to happen? When is this going to take place? And so you read here in Daniel the 9th chapter in verse 19, he says, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. Lord, listen and act. Act. He's saying, come, all right, Lord, the time's here. The 70 years is up. Act. Do something. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name. He's pleading with the Lord to do something, to deliver them, set them free, let them go back to Judah and to their homeland. That's what he's pleading with the Lord to do. And so the Lord, out of his mercy and kindness, sends the angel Gabriel to talk to Daniel and to tell him what's going to take place. And so you read in Daniel, the 10th chapter, and verse 14, this is the angel Gabriel speaking to Daniel. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. Now you have to realize something here, folks. He said, I've come to give you understanding as to what is going to happen to what? To your people when? In the latter days. So this prophecy that Gabriel's talking to Daniel about is not talking about the Jewish people. It's not what it's referring to. It's talking about God's people, which as far as God was concerned, was Daniel's people also, but it's talking about the people when? In the latter days, at the end of time. That's what that prophecy is dealing with. And so this is what the angel's coming to tell Daniel. Daniel, this is how it's going to be. This is what is going to take place. So the angel Gabriel starts clear back in the 11th chapter and starts taking them through, Daniel through, step by step to what's going to take place. So when you come to the 11th chapter, you'll find that he repeats and enlarges. Now, I want to get you established in what the Bible is talking here, and particularly the book of Daniel, because four nations are mentioned: Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. Those four nations are mentioned in Daniel 2, Daniel 7, Daniel 8, and Daniel 11. And when you're studying the book of Daniel, those are the four nations that are mentioned. And those four nations take you from Daniel's day clear to the coming of Jesus Christ. Did I make myself clear? They take you clear from Daniel's day to the coming of Jesus Christ. All right. So when you get to the 11th chapter, he does the same thing. And if you've had trouble with the 11th chapter, I hope maybe this will help you a little bit. When you get to the 11th chapter, you have to realize that Babylon has already been destroyed. The Medes and Persians have come. They've overthrown Babylon. That's already taken place. And so Darius, the Mede, is ruling now. So when you get to the 11th chapter, Gabriel doesn't start with Babylon. He starts with Medo-Persia. That's where he starts in the 11th chapter, because Babylon's been destroyed. So when you're reading the 11th chapter, verses 1 and 2 have to do with Persia. That's what verses 1 and 2. And if you're reading it, and by the way, the angel Gabriel gives this to Daniel in literal language, whereas in the other prophecies it was in prophetic, but not the 11th chapter, it's in literal language. Verses 1 and 2, talking about Medo-Persia. Verses 3 through 13 is talking about Greece. That's what he's referring to, and he talks about all these different kings of Greece that took place there. And then verses 14 through 29 talks about Rome, pagan Rome. That's what it's dealing with. Now I want to make something clear here, because as you study these chapters, four kingdoms: Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. So when you get to Daniel 11, verses 14 through 45 all deal with Rome. Let me say that again. Verses 14 through 45 all deal with Rome. Verses 14 to 29 talk about pagan Rome. Verses 30 through 39 talk about papal Rome. It's still Rome, folks. Talking about papal Rome. And then verses 40 through 45 talk about the reestablished papal kingdom that we're living in today. That's verses 40 through 45. So it doesn't change. It's still Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. It takes you through it step by step. Now, when it gets to this one in verses 40 through 45, that Daniel 11 refers to as the king of the north. Okay, I want you to look at something. The king of the north is papal Rome. All right? It's papal Rome today. That's what verses 40 through 45 is talking about. It's the king of the north. But this papal power is talked about more in Bible prophecy than any other power. The little horn of Daniel 7, 8, papal Rome. The little horn of Daniel 8, 9, papal Rome. The beast of Revelation 13, papal Rome. The scarlet beast of Revelation 17, papal Rome. It's all the same power all through those verses. So when you get to verse 45, it says concerning the king of the north, papal Rome, and he shall plant his tents of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain, yet he shall come to his end, and no one will help him. That's the way the 11th chapter ends with the king of the north coming to his end. The first Bible that took and divided the Bible into verses and into chapters was the Geneva Bible. That's where it first was done, which was a blessing and has been a great help. But unfortunately, sometimes the divisions are not made exactly where they should be. And so it causes people to have trouble because they're ending the 11th chapter with the 45th verse. It really shouldn't end there. And so you start with 12, and 12 starts this way. At that time. At that time, what does that mean? Well, at the time that the king of the north comes to his end, at that time, certain things were going to take place. And really, the 11th chapter shouldn't end until after the third verse of the 12th chapter. Okay. In other words, when the king of the north comes to his end, these things were going to happen. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. Here, the angel Gabriel simply does this, folks. He's talking to Daniel. He's talking about his people, God's people. And he simply goes clear to the end of the story. Now, understand. He simply goes clear to the end of the story, and he talks about five things that happen. And these five things that take place here in the 12th chapter all take place after probation closes, before Jesus comes. Because when Michael stands up, probation closes. Okay? Michael stands up, probation closes. And of course, if you're having trouble with Michael there, when he shall stand up, that word Michael, you know what it means? One who's God, like God. That's what the word means, one who is like God. So when Michael stands up, probation closes. All right, and there shall be a time of trouble. This is referring to the time when the plagues will be poured out, the seven last plagues. There will be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that time. But you have to understand that you are in the protection and care of God. Okay, please understand. It says, Psalms 91, it says, no plague shall come nigh thy dwelling. That's a promise. So you are under the protection of God. Okay, and it says, and at that time, when this all happens, what? Your people shall be delivered. They're going to be delivered. Everyone who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some to everlasting life, some to shame, and everlasting contempt. And so you're going to have the resurrection is going to take place. And by the way, I can't go into it this morning. There's not enough time. This is not talking about the general resurrection, folks. This is talking about the special resurrection when they will be resurrected to see the Lord come. And there's people on both sides of the situation that will be resurrected during that resurrection. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. The Bible, in Daniel 12 here, it refers to these five points that I have just mentioned to you as wonders. So as we read through it, watch, because he'll keep asking, when are these wonders going to be finished? When is this going to be over? Okay, those are the five wonders. The five wonders of Daniel 12. All right, let's continue the chapter. But you, Daniel, now this is really where the 12th chapter should have begun. This is where it should have been, the first verse of the 12th chapter. But you, Daniel, shut up the word, seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. He said, Daniel, okay, seal up the words, the book, until when? The time of the end. That's to be sealed until the time of the end. We'll establish clearly as we go through here what the time of the end is. Because that's a special time, all right? Then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on this riverbank and the other on that riverbank. Two people standing, one on each side of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river. So here's a third person who is actually above the water. And he asked the question, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? He said, how long is it going to be until these five wonders that you've just mentioned, when is this going to be done? When is it going to be finished? Then I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, swore by him who lives forever and ever, that it shall be for a time, times, a half a time, and when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. I'm saying clearly that it's going to be for a time, or times and a half a time, and then after that, all these things shall be finished. It says the power of the holy people shall be completely shattered. The time of the end, let's establish when the time of the end is. For it said it shall be until the time of the end. We've been given in Scripture a way in which we are to calculate prophetic time. It says in Ezekiel 4:6, I have laid on you a day for a year. Numbers 14:34, for each day shall be, you shall bear your guilt for 1 year. So God has simply given us a day for a year. A day is one prophetic year. So when we have time, times, and a half a time, it works like this. There are 360 days in a prophetic year. If you have trouble with that, then go read the story of the flood. It will make it very clear that there's 360 days in a biblical year. So a time represents 1 year, and so a day represents a year, so that'd be 360. Times would be 2 years, 720, and a half a time would be a half a year, which would be 180, gives you 1,260. And each day representing a year, or 1,260 years, represents the period of time. And by the way, folks, you must understand, we're talking about the papal power at this time. This is what he's talking about. From 538 to 1798. This time prophecy, 1,260 days that we just read about, is used more in the Bible than any other time prophecy. It's referred to in Daniel 7:25. It's referred to in Daniel 12:7, which we just read. It's referred to in Revelation 11, verses 2 and 3. Revelation 12, verses 6 and 14, and Revelation 13, verse 5. All those mention the 1,260, and in every case, it's talking about the same period of time. It's talking about a period of time known as the years of papal supremacy from 538 to 1798. Now, I'd like to clear up some things. I can't go into it in detail because not enough time here. What about 538? What is important about 538? Well, some people maintain it's important because the papal power, through the help of the pagan power, overthrew the Ostrogoths in 538. That is debatable. That date is debatable. But there is something that happened in 538 that is not debatable, that to me is very, very important. In 538 A.D., the papal power passed a Sunday law in 538 A.D. And you can go back and look that up in history. Passed it in 538, showing that they were in control and operating at that time. So to me, that's much more important than the fact that the Ostrogoths had been overthrown. But this began the 1260 years, which takes you to 1798. The period of time after 1798 is known in Scripture as the time of the end. That goes from 1798 until Jesus comes. That's the time of the end. You are living in the time of the end. You need to put that down. You're living in the time of the end. And folks, you're not living at the beginning of it. You're living at the end of it. The time of the end. That's the time in which we are living. And there's a number of things that has to happen during this time of the end. Daniel 12:7, continuing, "And when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished." What's he talking about? He's talking about the time of the end. He said, "Shut up the book, seal it until the time of the end." And he said, during the time of the end, the power of the holy people will be completely shattered. What's that referring to? That word shattered in Hebrew is the word narfars. And that word means dispersed. It also can mean dispersed, not just shattered, it means dispersed. "When the power of the holy people has been dispersed, all these things shall be finished." And it's really talking about what many of you and I have read about and heard about over the years is what is called the latter rain. And that is when the Holy Spirit will be poured out in great measure. "Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like rain, like the latter and the former rain to the earth." Just the same as the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, which was what was known as the former rain, so here in the time of the end, it will be poured out upon God's people in great measure as rain. It will be poured out upon them. It will be dispersed throughout the earth. When that is done, Jesus will come. That's what he's telling. When that is finished, Jesus will come. Daniel's still having trouble because verse 8 says, "Although I heard, I did not," what? "Didn't understand. Then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things?" Saying, "Lord, put it together for me. What's going to be the end of these things?" So watch now as the angel Gabriel goes back and tries to put it all together for Daniel so that he'll understand what is happening and taking place. And he said, "Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end." Well, Daniel's not going to be living during the time of the end. He's not living today. So he said, "Go your way, Daniel. The words are sealed unto the time of the end." Well, when the time of the end is going to happen, but he said for Daniel's sake, he's going to explain a little more what's going to happen. Many shall be purified, made white, and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Many shall be made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Now he's going back and he's saying, during this period of time, there will be, the daily sacrifice will be taken away, the abomination of desolation will be set up, and there will be 1,290 days in that period of time. So what is the angel Gabriel explaining here? He's talking about the work of the papal power in the last days, and he's saying this. There's going to be a period of time of 1,290. What you've got to understand is before this period of time, and I think many of you remember your history well enough, that the Germanic tribes came down and they broke up the Roman Empire. They broke it up, if you remember, into 10 parts. They were the Goths and the Heruli and the Vandals and the Franks and Anglo-Saxons and so forth. These were pagans, folks, and these tribes became the nations of Western Europe. But they were pagan. In 508, put it down, in 508 you have the beginning of the papal power. It did not exist before then. Now the Catholic Church existed, but the papacy, or the papal power, did not exist before that. What happened in 508? The Frank king, by the name of Clovis, converted to Catholicism. When he converted to Catholicism, a number of things began to take place that set up the papal power. He was baptized and became the first Catholic king. Put it down. He became the first Catholic king. It wasn't long after that until he made Catholicism the national church. Follow me, what I'm telling you. He made Catholicism the national church and outlawed all others. He took civil law and religious law and put them together, making them no different. And so you have the birth of the papal power in 508. This is when it begins to become into being. I don't have time to go into the details. This was with France. This was the Franco part of it. This is where it began, where it started. It really wasn't until 580 that you have the papal power taking over the empire. But it was what started, it had its birth here with Clovis in 508. That's why he picks up 508. If you add 1,290 days or years to 508, it takes you to 1798, the beginning of the time of the end. That's what he's explaining to Daniel. He goes a step farther. Many shall be purified and made white and refined. This is talking about what's going to happen during the time of the end. Many are going to be made white, purified, refined. You know who that's talking about? Do you know who that's talking about? You. It's talking about you. You're the ones that are supposed to be purified, refined, made white. Your characters are supposed to be changed. You're supposed to be children of God. You're supposed to be more and more like Jesus Christ. That is what's to take place during this period of the time of the end. Your neighbor next door should say, "Do you know those people over there? They're the nicest people I have ever met. Have you ever talked to them? You should be refined, purified. Our characters should be made like our Lord. And folks, let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit is willing to do that for you. He's willing to do that for you. All it takes is you getting up each day and turning your life over to the Lord. Surrendering your life to Him. Stop running it yourself. And let Him run it. And He'll change you. He'll make you different. He'll make you children of God. Purified, refined, made white. You better. Because the clock is ticking out there. And I can tell you, you better be aware that these things are beginning to take place. Because it says, but the wicked shall do wickedly. But none of the wicked shall understand. They don't know what's going on. But dear friend, the wicked will do wickedly. And boy, you see that today. I can tell you, there's too much I can't go into. What two things do you have coming down to you from Eden? What two ceremonies or two institutions do you have coming from Eden? Marriage and Sabbath. What has happened to marriage? What's happened to marriage? What's happened to the Sabbath? The wicked shall do wickedly. And indeed it is taking place today. Don't close your eyes and say, oh, it's not happening. You better believe it's happening. It's happening right now in the time we're living in. But the wise shall understand. That word wise in Hebrew is the word masculine. And you can trace it all the way. It says, you know, concerning the mark of the beast, it says, here, he that hath wisdom, that word is masculine, the wise. Let him think. You need to understand where you are, what's happening, what's taking place in preparation for the coming of the Lord. That we need to do. And from the time the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Up until that time, then when the time of the end takes place, then these things are going to be fulfilled. Now he takes it a step farther. Blessed is he who waits, comes to 1,335 days. Angel Gabriel says, okay, Daniel, that person that wants to wait comes to 1,335 days. There's a blessing. There's a blessing in that. Well, in the Hebrew and English both, it's very clear that the 1,290 and the 1,335 both start at the same time. It says, blessed is he that waits. So it's talking specifically about the same period of time. So we start in 508. If we go 1335, it takes us to 1843. What blessing was there to be in 1843? Because blessed is he who waits. Well, 1843, there was a movement taking place called the Millerite movement. And the Millerite movement was preaching for the first time something called the Three Angels' Messages. And they were proclaiming certain things like the judgment, the first angel. And I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, Worship Him who made heaven and earth and sea and the springs of water. What blessing is there in that? It says the hour of God's judgment has come. What blessing is there in that? What does that have to do with the gospel? Well, very clearly. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, that's the gospel, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death unto life. Marvelous blessing to know that Jesus Christ will stand in my place in the judgment, that I do not have to face all the things that this old sinful nature has done, and that God has saved me and I have passed from death unto life. Tremendous blessing. That's part of that message, the third angel's message, or the three angels' messages, that you and I have a Savior. We have a mediator that stands in our place. The second angel. And another angel followed them, saying, Babylon is fallen, is fallen. That great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of God, the wrath of her fornication. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive, what? Her plagues. What's the blessing? The blessing, dear friend, is that God has called you out of Babylon into the marvelous light so that you do not receive the plagues. The plagues will not fall upon you, that you and I are under the care of the Lord, under His hand, and we do not receive the plagues. And the third angel. And the third angel followed him, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image receives his mark in his forehead or on his hand. Okay, what's the blessing? All right, here's the blessing. Listen carefully. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire. Those who have victory over the beast, over his image, over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having the harps of gold. That's the blessing. The blessing that you, and I hope by the grace of God you have, that God has given you the opportunity to have victory over the beast and over its image and over its mark, that you stand faithful to God, and as a result you have the blessing of what? Standing on the sea of glass and having the harps of God. That's the blessing that He gives to those who are faithful to Him, to you who are living in the last days, that are living in the time of the end. I plead with you. Let the Holy Spirit come into your life. Let Him change you. Let Him make you kind and sweet and gentle and loving. Get rid. And I understand clearly, dear friends, you know, there's some people that are harder to save than others. When you hold evangelistic meetings, the largest group of people that come into the church are sanguines. Do you know who sanguines are? Oh, these are people who are always happy and they're the life of the party and all that. The largest group of people that come in are sanguines. Unfortunately, they're the ones that go out. The largest group that stay in the church are calorics. They're the hardest to save. It's true. I know it very well. I'm very caloric. Yeah. It takes a lot of work. A lot of work on the part of the Holy Spirit to change that character, to make me different. It's a battle. Day by day, hour by hour, to keep this old nature surrendered, keep it given to Him. It's hard. I don't like it. The old selfish nature wants to fight against it. But I must let the Holy Spirit, do its work. And you and I must do the same. This is what God wants you to do. Closes up with the words to Daniel, the last verse of the chapter. But you go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will rise to your inheritance at the end of days. He said, Daniel, go your way. You're going to rest. Going to sleep. But then you're going to rise to your inheritance. To you and to me. Sorry, folks.